Please bear with me. I don't have everything queued up yet. I'm just getting, just got into the studio. I just got into the studio. I don't have everything queued up yet. Please just bear with me while I do that. I'm not sure what I'm playing even. So just give me 2 seconds.
An intellectual. An intellectual was more subtle than any serpent. And he said unto the woman, thou mayest indeed tune unto the foot of an intellectual.
Hang on.
Was more subtle than any.
Hang on, just a second.
And he said,
hang on now. I'm so sorry. Just give me 2 seconds. So I'm playing. I was going to play this record I got from the flea market for you. And I opened it up, and it wasn't actually a record. It was some, I don't know if it was bread or a leaf or something like that. But here, now I've got, all right, now I've got a real...
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. Some Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Here's something I want you to do. Could you please take this little test strip and hold it in your time stream? All right. Oh, my word. It's positive. Let's both be positive.
They are all going to say the same thing when they see me walk into town. That fellow's pants are a different color than
ours. There are 7 steps.
They're a different color. There are 7 steps. And I bought green pants. There must have been a different color light in the store. A red light. Red light would make the pants look green. Red light would make the pants look not blue. I set out to buy blue pants. I wanted blue pants. There are 7 steps from the front door. And for any man who wants to go to the garage, for anyone who has purchased pants a different color than others' pants, tired too, I might have been tired.
7 steps.
There are 7 steps from the front door to the garage. There are 7 steps from the front door to the garage. I purchased the wrong pair of pants. I'm assuming I did this because the light in the store was distorted. My eyesight was distorted. Something had happened. There is no one person who can walk into a situation like that and not change and not leave a different person. No, I don't think so, but I do count steps, and there are 7 steps from the front door to the garage, and that's when I realized that I was wearing green pants, because between the front door and the garage, there is a mirror, and in the mirror I saw the true color of my pants, and I knew that others were staring at me then, because green pants are not common, green pants are uncommon. And it was the shade of green. It wasn't any shade. It was this shade. It was a particular shade of green. 7 steps from the front door to the garage I counted that day. And I knew that I was wearing the wrong pair of pants. I knew that.
The time current number temperature you have is... dialed has degrees been disconnected?
Actually, I need you to just read each word three times slowly.
Oh, like the.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, say when.
Anytime.
The. Time. Current. Number. Temperature. You. Have. Is. Dialed. Dialed. Has. Degrees. Been. Disconnected.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. Okay, can you now count from 0 to 19, please?
All right. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, so good. Now, let's do our 10s now. So start by saying 20, and then go up to 100, and then say the words end. Do we have end? No. So end and o'clock.
All right. So first the tens. 20. 30. 40. 50. 60. 70. 80. 90. 100. And o'clock. O'clock.
That's fantastic.
The number you have dialed 5-5-5-2-7-4-4 has been disconnected. The temperature is 54 degrees. The current time is 7 o'clock. Time. Current. The time current has been disconnected. The time current has been disconnected. 180 degrees. The Emperor Hadrian has disconnected the time current. Please, Butchie, if you hear me, you have to do something. The time current has been disconnected. Hadrian has been disconnected. Connect 180 degrees. Bye, Butchie. Hadrian. 1-1. You hear me, Ken?
The current time is no time. The time current has been disconnected. The time current has been disconnected. The current time is no time.
Oh, there's teenagers out here.
Oh, man. You wouldn't just go home?
Yeah.
Dang it.
I know.
Jimmy, you've got that.
I don't remember Hans Conried being Angel on Rockford Files.
Friend. They're after me. Those fellows are after
me. Yeah, me neither.
For no reason at all. It's some sort of scam.
I bet the time current is messed up.
Jimmy, you've got to help me.
Yeah, I bet it is, too.
You've got to help me, Jimmy.
Hey, you want to go hiking?
I don't know. I think it's too cold and too late.
Well, call the time and temperature and see.
All right.
Is 54 degrees. The current time is 7 o'clock. Time. Current. The time current has been disconnected. The time current has been disconnected. 180. 80 degrees. The Emperor Hadrian has disconnected the time current. Please, Butchie, if you hear me.
It's 54 degrees and 7 o'clock.
So it's not too cold, but I think it's too late.
I shall set the record straight. There is someone pretending to be me, calling themselves Hadrian when they are not. Greatness and power is not theirs. Armies they do not command. This small actor is not a god. He is a parody of an emperor. I am the poet emperor, the builder of walls in space and time. The temporal river flows this way or that at my command. I am the center of all things.
Am I interrupting something? Oh, I'm sorry. I was told that I could meet someone here at this time to look at a space that might be available for my friends and I who have a club. We like to meet and get together and have a space for fellowship and to talk and do performances and everything. What's that? Why do we need that? Oh, now you have me thinking. Now I'm back on my heels a bit. I'd still like to see the space, however, in case I come up with a reason. Oh, it's lovely. This is going to be plenty big. Can we paint over the wood paneling, or is that historic? What's that? Oh, it's pekicypress. Well, listen, you know, how about this? I was in a museum recently in Cincinnati, and they had an exhibit of Indian fabric. The history of Indian fabric, some of it very, very old, from India, that Indian fabric. And one of the things they had was this tapestry sort of thing that went around an entire room. It was meant to hang over. It even had openings for the windows and everything. And it was beautiful, and it had sort of appliques, is that what they call? I don't know. Things sewn out, sewn patterns like someone's quilt, like your grandma's, like Meemaw made a quilt. But it had elephants on it or something like that. That's exactly what it was. And it was beautiful. And guess what? Somebody had thrown it out on a New York City sidewalk. Can you believe that? I'm sure the person that threw it out was not connected with its creation or its enjoyment, because I am told that it was for a wedding or some special event. Ah, that's something I'd like to hang in this room, if it would be okay with you. Is it okay with you? That's not the same as painting over your pekicypress. Your pekicypress will be fine. All right. Let me look. Do you have a kitchen? We might need a kitchen, because when we get together, we like to eat for some reason. I guess it's because we are filling some very basic need. Not even a desire. It's a desire, yes, but it's also just a basic need. You must eat to live. Nothing says it has to be green bean casserole or mac and cheese. But they seem to end up, I guess because it's easy to make those into a rectangle that can be brought. Another thing that's good to bring something in is a big, deep pot. Have you ever done that? Say, I'm going to make something in a crock pot. I'm going to what are they called? Potluck. I was going to call it a potpourri. That's something different. That instead of a crock pot full of stew, to a potpourri, you might bring a big sack of lavender. Whew, how expensive that would be. I can't even imagine. That would be more than, not as much as saffron or actual wasabi, which is not what you get in the restaurants. That's not what I'm told. What is this? Is that a portrait of somebody? Can that be covered over? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's your great-great-grandfather. And what did he do? He's the mayor. All right, the mayor of what? Oh, the town. That's fantastic. And that's his portrait, is it? My word, is this, I don't mean to be indelicate, but is that the size of was his head? Or is that the artist maybe didn't get it quite right? You know, sometimes when we go to capture something, a moment or a memory, we don't get it quite right. We make the head too small or something. Or what's that? Is that an ear? No, I don't know what it was. I just painted what I saw on the picture. Oh, I think he's wearing, that might be his hair or something. Is that a shadow or his hair? Have you ever done that? Do you ever paint it? Somebody gives you a photograph, and they say, paint my cousin. I go, all right, this hasn't happened to me, but I imagine it's happened to someone. And then you paint them, and you give it back, and they say, why did you make his hair so long? It looks like he's
is it's coming down to his shoulders. And you go, well, yeah, look. And they go, no, 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 that's the shadow on the wall. And you go, oh, I thought that's part of his head. So now I've painted it to look like it's his hair. And I thought maybe he looked like somebody. Think of somebody in history with all that sort of hair. I can't think of anybody right now. So many people have hair that looks like a shadow. So that's why I thought it was realistic. That's an easy way to get fooled, is when the illusion is something that's also possible or probable, right? Then it's an easy illusion. Like, do you ever tap somebody on the shoulder that you're shopping with, you think it's your companion, and they turn around and it's not, but they're wearing the same shirt, the same football jersey with the same last name and number, and they have the same hairstyle. They have the same tattoo on the back of their head, which is really funny, which is why I can't believe that I mistook that other person. But it happens. Oh, my gosh, it happens. We are no two of us alike, but we are maybe five or six of us alike, which is crazy, right? You meet your double all the time. Mine is going around doing all sorts of things. Three of my doubles also do this show, which is wonderful. You can't tell the difference almost. Another Hardy will come in and do this for me. Take my place. No, I'm kidding. I got that idea off the Flintstones. Way back in the Stone Age days, people had the ability to make robot doubles of themselves if they had a friend who was a visiting alien. And so they would make a sort of a robot Fred Caveman. Robot Fred Flintstone. He'd go, yabba-dabba-doo, how much is that baby? Buy that baby. He would say. And then the real Fred could go off and do what the real Fred liked to do. I don't know, go bowling? I think it's a metaphor for cheating on his wife. They just didn't want to show it because it was a family show. The Lodge. What does that mean? Who knows what he's off doing? Wearing that funny hat. Looks like a beef eater with horns. That isn't right. So, bless him. Bless all the imagery that was put into my head against my will when I was young. Thank you. Thank you for that. People who grew up previous generations had all sorts of say, I can't stop thinking about Treasure Island. So I was spared that, maybe. But goodness, goodness, all the strange, surreal images of cartoons and children's shows that are embedded in my head now. And I use them. So when I think of an idea, sometimes I'll give it the face of Popeye. And Popeye will be my say, oh, somebody's talking about something like, oh, do you believe in angels? And I'll go, yes. And I'll think of Popeye. I go, well, it can't be as that. Is Popeye the face of an angel? Maybe. Have you looked into the face of Popeye and seen something special, transcendent, more human, but also more basic? Something like an angel, a distillation of some great characteristic. Maybe love or loyalty. That's what Popeye has. Popeye has tattoos. Popeye has swollen forearms that we do not know why. Popeye has swollen forearms. I'm going to tell you something that's going to break my heart, but I have to tell you, my grandfather died. And he died in the mid-70s. And before he died, his arms swelled up and got very thick with fluid. And the doctors didn't know what it was. And his arm looked like Popeye's. And I never knew what it was. And years later, I asked my doctor. And she said, I bet it was lung cancer. Because that'll fill your arm up like that with fluid. And it broke my heart. Because I knew that he smoked cigarettes for years. And I said, well, that's finally, I know what it is, at least. Now, Popeye smokes that pipe. That's why I'm worried. Because I get attached. I love people. And people are finite. And they go away. They go away. The things in my head will go away. The ideas I have of Papa. But for now, they're there. And I love them. And I celebrate them. And I will not give in to fear. I will love. And I will cry. My heart will break. But I will not love. Oh, come with me. Let's put on our fake armor. If you must. Because we're going to love and extend our heart and our tenderness out there to each other. That's why we need this space. That's why I'm renting it for my friends
so we can get together and lean on one another. And when we do that, none of us will fall. When there's standing room only, there's no room to fall. We fall into one another. And sometimes that's misinterpreted as shoving, and we'll shove back, but at least you know that you can't fall if there's enough people. I have a blessing for you. It's somewhere. Hang on. Oh, I thought I brought it. I have it with me. I usually keep it with me all the time because I know I'm going to have to give out a blessing, so I have it. I'm going through all my pockets. I have too many pockets. It's like Captain Kangaroo. If he was really Captain Kangaroo, he'd just have one pocket in the front, one main pocket, one pocket that's also a womb, one pocket that's connected to his insides in a way. But he didn't. He had multiple pockets. What's that kind of thing? What's that called? That's not a kangaroo. That's not anything. That's a person with a jacket with pockets. And in those pockets, carrots. And what are those carrots for? They're gifts. He gives them to his friend, Bunny Rabbit. And his friend, Mr. Moose. And his friend, Mr. Green Jeans. He didn't have to give them to Mr. Green Jeans. Mr. Green Jeans has his own. You can look at him. He says, wearing bib overalls. And the bib overalls are a good sign that he's been doing a little bit of gardening. So I guarantee he's got his own carrots. That's probably where the carrots came from, now that I'm thinking about it. And something else I remember from Cactus Kangaroo is that cereal is delivered via train, and that there are actually big old, what we thought were water towers, but they're full of milk. And they come down and they put the milk on the cereal, and then it's delivered to the child in the morning. Oh, I want to bring out the child in you. How should I get it out? Sometimes we'll go, you dig out of your ear is where your inner child is. And you roll around your fingers and flick it into existence. That's where it is. Or you cough it up like it's cud. You know what that is? A lot of animals ruminate. I ruminate, not literally. But that means we use it not in its literal meaning, which means to cough up some undigested grass or what have you from your second stomach into your mouth, re-chew it, and then re-swallow it. But that's what it means to ruminate, to think about an idea. I like to give you ideas every week and have you ruminate on them. So the idea this week I want to give you is this. That thinking about something, deliberating about something, is exactly like throwing up into your mouth. And then deciding, do I want this? Do I really want this? Do I want to use it to nourish myself? So you have a decision to make. You can either do one of two things. So choose one of those things. Oh, I am glad I'm able to share these things with you. I could have nothing and still I'd want to share. I'd want to share nothing with you. That's not true. I'd say, can you add some of your something to my nothing? And then we can split it and then we'll both at least have a fraction of something, right? We'll actually have something. You can't have a fraction of something. You either have it or you don't. So another thing I want to ask you is, are there restrooms? If there are restrooms, how many restrooms? If there are, how many restrooms are they? Handicap accessible. How many restrooms are there? Ideally, I would want 4. And why is that? So that 4 people can use the restroom at once. That's what I'm looking for. So you only have, how many do you have? 1. Is it handicap accessible? Yes. Okay. Well, that's going to have to do. 1 bathroom that everybody can get into is fine. That'll be fine. And what's in that bathroom? A toilet, all right, a sink, yes, and a pachinko machine. That concerns me because I think some people are going to stay in there beyond their allotted. If we only have 1 and then we put something in there that's going to keep them in there, I don't understand. We might want to put something in there that's going to drive them out. Advertising or something, a little TV, but it only plays ads. No, they'll still stare at it. Bless our hearts. We're so thirsty. What are we thirsty for? Oh, I guess companionship, for purpose, information. We're thirsty for all those things. Do we hunger for them or are we thirsty? I don't know. Are there some things that we aren't hungry or thirsty for? We just want to, I don't know, put a pinch of it between our cheek and gums and let it absorb, put a patch on our arms, soak it in a little bit. And we'll sniff it or, I don't know, like it's an aroma. And what would that be? I don't know, other ideas, some ideas I don't want to ingest. I just want to, I'll just waft it. Waft it, is that right? That doesn't sounds gross. But I think that's what chemists do. They say, don't smell, okay, I'm putting something in this flask. Don't smell it directly, or you could burn out your nasal passages. Take your hand and just gently waft some of that. Still could, whoo, what is that? It's very basic. That's what, because something is acidic, it has the same, if it's very acidic or very basic, it's going to burn you. So why, what's in the middle of acidic and basic? There you go. That's a perfect pH for your swimming pool. And when you're going to swim in something, don't you want it to have a bit of balance? You don't want it to burn you, right? But you also don't want things to be growing in there. Now, I want things to grow with me. All right, well, we can grow a little bit. You know, they have those swimming pools. Some people make them that are not not hostile to nature. So it's like swimming in a pond. There are things growing in it. Little lily pads and other aquatic plants, flora, and what have you, and fauna, little fish and I guess leeches, or I don't know what's in a pond like that, gar. And swimming around in there, and then you swim in that, and it's more like a natural swimming pool. And it's wonderful. I love it. And then you get sucked under by what turns out to be Swamp Thing. Hi, Swamp Thing. Thank you for coming to our pool party. I don't know where I am. All right, that's all right. That's all right, man. You used to come here when you weren't Swamp Thing, Alex. Is it Alec or Alex? I don't even know which Swamp Thing you are. But bless you, you're welcome here. You're all welcome here. That's why we're getting this clubhouse. I haven't asked about the price of the rent yet. I'm going to do that in a minute. I don't want to ask because I'm already in love with the place. What is this floor? Is this tile? Is this a tile floor? What is, it's not just decorative tile. It's, I just noticed that in the middle of this whole room, there's a drain. This is lovely. So basically, we could get the, we could have a big hose fight or something in here, too. It just drains. Oh, that's nifty. Oh, we could have, oh, that'd be fun. I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But if there is, let's say we do a pie fight or something. We have a pie fight night where we make pies out of shaving cream. Blah, 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 and you just want to hose everything down. But I don't want to get the walls wet because the pecky cypress. All right. Well, these are things to think about. And I guess there's a covering we could put on the floor or anything because sometimes we'll have dances. So is there a wood floor we could put down? Because some, I anticipate at some point with a big enough space, if you have friends, there's going to be clogging or something. Or King, what's his name? King of the River Dance. Where you just dance just for your waist down. You act like, I've got some sort of, some spinal, something's wrong. Okay, well, don't move. So, but you can dance your legs a bit. All right, just stomp. All right, that sounds, that's nifty. I like it. I like all forms of dancing. There really is no human endeavor, dance-wise, that I don't enjoy. I'm trying to think. No, I can't think of any. Maybe I haven't seen some. Oh, gosh, that's, look at that. But anything from Morris dancing to, oh, all, and others. Is there others, or is that just it? Is that the only one you could think of? No, I like Tony Basil and things like that. All sorts of dancing. All sorts of music. All sorts of art and expression. What can we do in this space, Hardy? I don't know. You have any ideas? Let's have a meeting. Meeting come to order. We're going to propose now. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We haven't even rented it yet. So, is it prohibitively expensive? That's a terrible way to start a negotiation. But you tell me. All right. Oh, you're going to give it to us for free. That's fantastic, friends. Did you hear this? This is our new clubhouse. I love it. All are welcome when you're lonely during the week and you've got nowhere to turn. Come on by here. If you're scared and you're running around scared,
come on by here. There's always someone here cleaning the kitchen on kitchen duty. There's always somebody in the bathroom cleaning up your duty. Just like that. We're always, somebody's going to be here. So just come by any time, and then we'll have meetings and things where we all do stuff together. I don't know what we'll do together. Sing, or people get up and say, oh, let me tell a story, let me tell a story, let me tell a story. That'll be great. For the people who like to tell a story, it's going to be wonderful because we'll be able to give them, say, you got 7 minutes or something like that. And then it's a way of managing them. Because if we were just freeform, like having a party, like, oh, I got stuck talking to Mr. 7 minutes plus. Oh, all right. But this way, and then the shy people, you draw them out. You say, you got to talk for 7 minutes. Don't think I can. I'll just give it a try, you know? Leave a lot of space. People's attention spans. Oh, my word. You have to almost cater to them, don't you? Because they're so short. And we expect, I'm going to include myself in this because it's a persuasive technique, even though I really am not included in this. Our attention spans are so short, aren't they? We really expect to be entertained all the time. We can't just listen for information. We have to be guaranteed ahead of time that everything we're hearing is important or valuable. We can't be trusted just to cull through it. No, I want boneless chicken. Well, all right, but I want boneless. But the other kinds, but nope, I want it already pried out of the shell. It's not near as fun. It's more fun. Even drunks at a bar know it's more fun to pry open your own pistachios. Isn't it? Good things take time, don't they? I've been baking a lot. Oh, somebody wrote me a letter. Their partner's a baker and everything, and I forgot. I think I forgot to write back. I'm going to write back. Oh, I love you. Thank you so much. People said that last time, gave me baking tips, and I meant to write. I got to find the email. Maybe write me again if that was you. I'm so embarrassed. But, sir, I am going to close the deal on the rental space. You said we could have it for free. Oh, I need to sign some stuff. Oh, I'm sorry I snapped at you. I got defensive. I'm sorry. I don't like to look dumb, so I get angry sometimes. I get angry when I make mistakes, and I know that's not a very good character. It is a good character flaw. It's not a good sign character thing. I was thinking the kind of chairs we could get the folding kind, but I've seen them where they're soft. Have you seen those? Because sometimes sitting on those metal chairs, for those of us, I have a damaged coccyx, and it's very painful to sit on some sorts of chairs. I got to have a little bit of padding, and I'm too embarrassed to take a donut with me or something like that. So it'd be lovely if the chairs were padded. That's how I know to go, oh, I love your beautiful old historic church, you say. But I can't sit there on your pew because you don't have pew pads. If you had pew pads, I could sit upon your pews on the cushion of pew pads. And then that would be better for my coccyx. And I think that a lot of parishioners' pee pads and the delicate coccyx of those who don't attend church should be thought of the same way we are when we're looking around this space. Who has the list of stuff we're going to need from the landlord also? I'm sorry, can I keep you here 2 more seconds to ask you some questions about the space? Does it have an attic? It does. What's in the attic? Oh, you're going to take us up in there. This is a mysterious space. This is a place where we could take all of our, like when we want to do a haunted house or we want to set up some creepy, because we don't want to do it in a basement because sometimes there's real danger down there or radon. But the attic can just be like that, our special little nook there, a crazy little place where we can use our imaginations. Our imaginations can run wild in the attic up there. It's a big metaphor for our imagination, storing memories and things. What's in this old crate? Oh, look. It's your great-grandmother's yearbook. Did I have your... I don't know. Your grandmother's yearbook then. I don't know, man. But let's open it up. It's from the 20s. Look, they all have raccoon coats, and they're eating goldfish, and they're playing ukuleles, and they're cramming themselves into telephone booths, and one of those telephone booths is really a TARDIS, and they've accidentally gone forward in time, and here they are with us. Hello, friends. It's the 1920s University kids. Come on in. I don't know what they say. I'd have them on, but I have to, first I have to think ahead like that and think, what would it be like if I had people time travel here from the 20s and had them as guests on the show? What responsibility do I have to them? I don't know, but I have to think about those things before. You got to think ahead. So before I even go and look at rental spaces for our club, I got to think, why do we want a club? What kind of club are we going to have? What kind of things are we going to do? Then I think, what kind of space do we need? Then I think, oh, the space might dictate some of what we do. Because now that I see the space, I have ideas I didn't even think were possible. Now that we have the space, didn't think there's going to be a little stage in it. Oh, we can do little plays for one another. Sometimes I have things that I want to say to everybody, and I can't go around and directly say them to every individual. Maybe I will write a play. And then someday it'll be performed. And so the observation I have about human nature or the solution I have for an emotional problem will get out there, and people will understand, but I'll already be dead. But somebody will benefit from it, but I'll already be dead. So that's a stupid solution to my own problem. Hopefully, some poet or playwright has come before me and has already thought of that and is paving the way, is helping people change their hearts before I even got here. Thank you so much, artists, poets, writers, musicians of the past who paved the way for my existence so I could come here and say the things that I say. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for opening up people's minds, those of you in the past. You aren't able to even reap those benefits, but I'm telling you, thank you. There are people listening to my voice today that are doing so because they were taught certain values by my predecessors, by my ancestors. Thank you. I give thanks here today. Can I all have you close your eyes? Hardy, I'm listening to the radio. My eyes were already closed. Open them up, you're driving. Open them up, you're driving. What are you thinking? I know, I'm sorry. It's okay. You got them in time. They never were really closed. They were only closed in your imagination. You can look at that road and pay attention and still imagine things. That's why they have books on tape. I know that. I've been there just like you. I'm driving and I stick that book on tape in and it says,
"The So-and-So Library Series presents A Panda by Mark Chablis."
The first time that we drove to Florida, we knew it was different. It was the smell. It smelled like my grandmother's bathroom, a mixture of flour and garbage. The windows were rolled up in the car, and my grandparents were smoking. I saw the palm trees go by. I felt like we were standing still, and there were palm trees on wheels rolling by us, one after another, rolling palm trees, escaping from Florida. And we were stuck there. Like people get stuck in the mud or the sand. Before we moved, they told me that you could drive on the beach. Drive on the beach and get stuck. And then the sands of time. Hey, it's a good book on tape, but I plucked it out because I noticed something. Is that my tire? There's a flat tire. Shuff, shuff, poof, shuff, poof. No, it's not. It's Michael Winslow sitting next to me making a flat tire sound from Police Academy 4, I believe was the flat tire sound effect. Maybe not. I could get it wrong. But I think it was like Citizens on Patrol where he did the flat tire sound. I may be wrong. My memory is imperfect. But I do know this. My imagination is intact. And benefits from being imperfect. An imperfect imagination creates more variables. The more variables you have, the more you're going to surprise yourself. Oh, I just snuck up on myself, surprised myself. It made me choke a little bit, and I'm not sure if my heart is okay. But I'm entertained. If you can't surprise myself, who are you going to surprise? You can't surprise others. Sometimes you think you're surprising others by surprising yourself, but they're not surprised. Give me an example. Just a second. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to use that restroom, and I'm going to see. Could you time me? I know that's a weird thing, but just time me. I feel like right now I got about an average need to use the restroom. Give me a time, and then, like, if there's 100 of us, 200 in here, and let's say we all got to go at the same time, I want to know what's the possible amount of time it's going to take for the last person to go, because I have a feeling it's like 8 hours or something. So if there's 200 people, if I go in there and I'm in there 3 minutes, that's 3 times 200. That's 600 minutes, which is 10 hours. I could be wrong, but I think by that time, the last person would have, their bladder would have exploded. I don't even know if that's possible, but I will tell you this. When I was in school, and it may have been, I was briefly in college until they checked the roll, I learned that one of the kings of England ate so many melons that his stomach exploded. And my first question was, cantaloupe or honeydew? And they said that they did not know. And I said, well, how do you know that's true? Just melon. Melon could be something different, too. Because I later found out that the British, when they say corn, they mean wheat. Or just grain. That's a corn. What? Well, we call it maize, I guess. But they call everything corn. So I'm thinking, well, how many times have they done that before? How many times are they doing that and I'm not catching it? Yeah, fruit. We don't mean that by fruit. What do you mean? I know they do it with biscuit. It's a biscuit. That's not a biscuit. That's a cookie. Oh, no, no. All right. Well, that could be awfully confusing for me. You know what I'm saying? My public school biscuit. Look, what's that over there? Is that it's like a little hole in the wall. It's a squint. A squint. So are you saying there's someone on the other side of that? Like an anchorite or something, looking in at all the activities? There's someone who has isolated themselves in a small cell, and they look through a small slit in the wall at the activities inside of our clubhouse. And that's what they do, and they're doing it for their own spiritual development, they say. I am an anchorite in a sealed tiny room. They pass me porridge through a hole, and I pass out my poop. And then I look through the wall at everyone having fellowship, and my heart explodes with horror at what I've done. Yes, why did you do that? Why lock yourself away like that in a little squint? That's just like going, oh, my whole life is online. I'm going to look at a computer. I have isolated myself. I'm some sort of anchorite. I'm stuck in this tiny cell. Why have I done that? So I'm going to go to this space. I'm going to go to this clubhouse, and I'm going to see other people. And I understand that sometimes my life may be pointless and seem pointless and is pointless. And sometimes I can't, for the life of me, figure out why I go on. But then, I'm telling you, there are people that I'm with, others, some of mine I haven't even known very long, get together with them, and my heart, it's love or something. It's a spirit of love. It is other people willing to love and be loved. That's all. Open up their hearts to one another, trusting one another, saying, I understand what it's like to be alive, and I want to share some good times and joy with you in between the tragedy that we can't avoid or postpone. There might be some little available time, and if there is, I want to be with you there to hold on to you, to lift you up, to hold you up. If I have a little strength and energy, I'll share some with you. Imagine that. Then there wouldn't be those of us who were terribly alone and low. We could share it all, because I know that sometimes mine is overflowing, and so I have a little clubhouse here, and I can share it. Take some of mine. Take some of mine. Oh, let's lift you up together. Did you ever see the original Mary Poppins? Mary Poppins was I guess she's a nanny. I don't know. It doesn't matter, because that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about Ed Wynn. And Ed Wynn was laughing, and he floated up to the ceiling because it gave him gas or something, and it happened to be helium. What kind of beans would give you helium? That'd be wonderful. I'm going to eat some of those. And float away, and then when they wear off, you crash to the ground and you die on the top of a tree. But this Ed Wynn, he knew better, and he stayed in the house with a very high ceiling. So if you're going to do this, I'd go to, like, the Atlanta area. Go to, like, Marietta and get to one of those McMansion things where you walk in the front door and the ceiling, you go, is this, a 20-foot ceiling? That's absurd. How do you change the lights up there even? This is crazy. Who even needs that? Go there and then start laughing with your friends. The occupants will probably be appalled or shoot you. But you just keep laughing and you will float up to the ceiling. And while you're up there in hysterics, say, do you need me to change the bulb? And they might. It gives you a wonderful gas, the laugh, and we'll laugh together and it'll be joyous and our hearts will truly, literally, be lifted up. All the way up to the ceiling. All the way up to the ceiling. That's where I want to go with you. Will you go there with me? Will you let Hardy White be your friend? If you've gotten this far, then you are willing to really listen. You're the type of person that might go out into the wilderness and just be quiet for a second and say, what do I hear? What am I hearing? Before I start identifying things, that's a car, that's a robin, I want to listen. Maybe I'm not hearing what I think I am. And maybe let me hear it all together. Because maybe if I hear the car and the robin together and I don't try to make any distinction, maybe they'll form some sort of chord. An interval is what they call it in music. A third, a fifth, two notes that go together in a way that create a harmony or dissonance. But you can't tell until you put them together, and you can't tell until you listen. And listen carefully and slowly.
Are you still with me? I don't want to... And then now that you're asleep, I want you to go in Soupy Sales' trust fund, his purse or something. Go in Soupy Sales' bank account and take out all the money and send it to your great-grandmother. Because her purse was robbed. I am helping you by making you hypnotized. Ooh, Gilligan, I will make you dance as if I am near my purse off, pretending to be a dictator. I would never dictate to you. That's why I say, look at the strings. Look, I'm a marionette. There's strings. There's strings attached to me. Oh, there's one attached to my belly. I don't even know what that does. That might be for storage or something when they're just hanging me up. Because there's no separate joint in my belly like that. The ones on my arms and legs, yeah, that I get. And there's a little one on my head to make it nod. But the string in my belly, maybe that connects me to the past. Maybe it's a sort of umbilical that connects me to my mother and she to her mother. Like mitochondrial DNA. Oh, what's your maternal haplopap, papadap, hapapap, haplogroup? Happy group? Happy group is what we're calling ourselves. That's so funny. Should I put that on the lease? Where's Mariah? Mariah is our lawyer. She is not here. Can I just sign it? Can I put happy group on it?
Can I just sign a happy group? She's not here to tell me if that's bad or not. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because this fella's offered us some free space. I'm going to go ahead and sign it. Mariah's going to kill me. She's going to kill me. I didn't get her authorization. Sometimes I just have to go with it. My heart says, sign that. Well, my head says, my head's not there. My head, I guess, is getting a coffee. Where is Mariah? I'm trying to stall it. Okay, I'm going to sign. My heart wins. My head's going to have to take a back seat for a moment. My reason is going to have to take a back seat for a moment to my heart. My heart's laying out there. Sometimes my heart sneaks out the window at night and steals my car. It goes off and parties with its friends somewhere far, far away. And if I go in its room at night, I start to panic about where my heart is. I fear for its safety. Where is it? It snuck away. What have I done to do it to this? Why have I done that? Have I driven it off like that? Probably not from not listening to it. Because my brain goes in there every day and says, blah, 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 blah. You need to wash your feet. But am I really listening when my heart says, I couldn't wash my feet. You don't understand me. Am I really listening? Probably not. I ought to take my headphones off. I've got them on now because I need to hear my own voice. You like the sound of your own voice. Do I, though, like the sound of my own voice? I have to hear it. I have to know what it sounds like. I have to know what I'm saying to people. I got to take responsibility for it. We are connected, my siblings. What I say passes into a wonderful big orchestra song that's going to play even after I'm gone. The things I say are going to live and walk around. So I want to make sure that my little word babies are going to be well-behaved and going to show the love that I have and the intention of their making. Oh, love my word babies are going to be around with you. I hope they serve you. I hope they do, my friends. I know how difficult everything could be, so I want to make a special space for you, this little clubhouse, where we respect one another, where there is love and lightness and imagination and freedom, real freedom. That's the extra ingredient that people don't get. Because what they do is that some people try to do that, then they bring their fears with them. They say, why don't all these people look nuts? Because all these people don't care about them. I'm not going to say the word. There's an expression that's nice and strong that means, I am courageous enough to embrace freedom. And so I can't go around surveying everyone to see if I've made the right choice. I must brave it alone with my heart. And so that's freedom. I must do what I may, what I must. And I'm not going to take a poll. And I'm not going to go around paralyzed with fear because I think that I'm not living up to other people's expectations. I'm sorry. This thing you see that looks like madness is freedom. Doesn't mean I'm not afraid. It means I have courage. Yes, go ahead. Cast me out. Cast me away. I'm going to go over here with these people who also have that courage, that they know the power and the liberating power of freedom. They're going to come over here, and they're going to show their love, and they're going to open themselves up, and they're going to say, yes, I can be harmed, and I will survive it, because freedom has made me all gooey and rubbery. Oh, I love it. I can bend, and I will not break. And freedom has done that to me, and love has done that to me. And I want you to come in this rubber room with me. You're crazy. No, it's not insanity. It's not insanity, because with insanity would be fear. And there's no fear here, just love. Just love. And inclusion. Come on. Come on in. And, you know, our mere presence to one another is enlightening. We will understand. If you really feel, so I could feel what somebody else is feeling. There you go. There's your understanding. Let your heart break. That's all you can ask of your fellow human beings. Feel what I'm feeling. Let your heart break. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Friend, now let's agree to lift one another up. So I'm going to go ahead and pass around a snack list. Do not feel obligated to write yourself down a time on the... I know that you all have other things to do sometimes, but
If you know for sure you're going to be here, please sign up to bring some chips or a snack. Be aware that some of us do have food allergies. It's best to bring imaginary things. You used to do that as a child. It's okay to do it again. That way the cookies can be made of anything, mud or anything you want. All right, so do that. Sign up. Bring real chips for those of us who don't mind eating them, though we will be legitimately hungry. And as far as beverages go, I don't know. We haven't worked that out yet. We might have some powdered sports drink that was donated. We have some 5-gallon drums of it, 25-gallon drums of powdered sports drink. So I think we're going to be okay. If you don't, we might get tired of it. So if you want to go out and get a case of wine or something, that would be fine. Not everybody drinks. So also get some, I don't know, new grape, I would go with. But you do whatever you want. It's seriously, whatever you want. My favorite thing to drink is probably cream soda, though. So at least get one of those. My friends, every week, I, Hardy White, meet with you and try to open up my little playhouse for you. And every week, I hope that I remember to say thank you to all of my friends out there and to remind myself and to remind you how special it is, this thing we share, this wonderful means of communication, listening only. Oh, it's a rare thing, and those who know about it are transformed by it. Thank you for letting me into that space without pictures. I appreciate it, and I hope that you like the wall hanging I put up. You are listening. Is the show long enough? Is it? I can hum for you. That's what I'll do. Oh, don't you? No, I planned for it to go this long because now I have something very special that I want to share with you. And what it is, it's me humming Cattle Call for a full minute. I started too high. I'm never going to make it. I know I'm not going to make it. That's good. I'm glad I didn't hit the ramp. That's like when you're skateboarding. So I'm not going to make that jump, Evel Knievel said. So I'm just going to turn the motorcycle around and I'm going to start lower. It's buzzing my lip, making my lips feel funny. I don't think I'm humming correctly. I think I forgot how to hum. That's really weird. I don't. It's a very unpleasant buzz. I don't like that. And I mean, literal buzz. It's making my lips feel like I'm touching them against a 9-volt battery. Ugh. I don't like that at all. Could you please tell us what we're listening to so that we can perhaps avoid it next time and also hold somebody legally responsible? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for listening this week with me, and I hope I see you next week. May everything go okay. It's never gonna be perfect. I hope that you survive. If you want to survive, it's gonna be a long week. It's gonna be a short little week. But soon we'll be together once again.
And I Wandering Gales, the Wandering Gales. Courtesy of the Davis record label. Trouble About My Soul is what they were singing about right there. Christian Light Quintet preceded the Wandering Gales. Their version of Thomas Dorsey's Anyhow. The Melron record label, 1964. Christian Light Quintet, Wandering Gales. Getting us underway here this evening on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt. Thanks to you, you and you, for tuning in this evening. Hang on, stay with us for our gospel extravaganza. So happy that the Morning Echoes of Detroit have graciously agreed to start this next set. And a little Bible history, our Bible lesson for today. Biblical history of Moses is what they'll be singing about. The Morning Echoes of Detroit here on Sinner's Crossroads, WFMU.